Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 384, Yin and Yang. One of my favorite all-time symbols. And I plan on another tattoo, and I think I got four that are kind of yin yang kind of themed. And I'm like, you know, I like the symmetry, I like the simplicity of the symbol, but why am I keep on thinking about tattoos like that? It's just like, well, I like that duality because it's just life. There is good and bad. There is light and light and dark. You know, there just is. And when you accept that, it's like you kind of reach that little higher level going, no, this is life. There's, you know, like the Buddhists, there's suffering. You know, it's just it's part of life. It's all right. You'll get through it. You'll learn all the tough stuff's what makes you grow. You know, like just that step back, that little separation. And I'm really thankful that I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing. I really truly am. I wrote a note. People are like, how are you? And I'm like, consistently thankful. And it's pretty much my answer now. How are you? Consistently thankful. Like, I just say that all the time. That was just going to be the title. I was like, I should make that the title. And I wrote it down. I didn't really have any notes yet, but I wrote down consistently thankful. So again, I'm just trying to share via the Pro U Podcast what I'm doing. And hopefully you can, you know, choose and pick and take certain things and elements and somehow apply them to your journey, your Pro U path. It just helps you grow through what you go through. Because what I'm experiencing to me now is kind of becoming a bit, I don't know, expected. Like, I expect to wake up and do good. I expect to deal with stuff. I expect to kick stuff out of my head. I expect to have good days. You know, I just expect to keep moving forward. And not like expectation leading to frustration. I just like, well, it doesn't really throw me anymore. I mean, I did the car, the whole, you know, before was dealing with uncertainty. And then the next one was achieving certainty. Like, did that. And it's why I do what I do. And it's why I share. It's why I talk as much as I do. I'm just hoping that people that are suffering, that are struggling, they can pick up one or two things and apply it. And then hopefully, you know, experience the fruits of their labor. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for being you. And I hope 2021 is going as well as it can for you, because you're doing all that you can to be the best you. Enjoy. Hello. Happy January 2021. We're just moving right into it, aren't we? Isn't that funny? Sun just keeps rising, setting, waves keep coming in, no matter how we feel or what we had written down. Quotes. Quotes again, Tom. Yes, quotes again. Quotes are good. Like quotes. Love quotes. See the quote. Be the quote. Nothing is permanent. Everything is subject to change. Being is always becoming. The body becomes what the foods are, as the spirit becomes what the thoughts are. Wisdom comes with the ability to be still. Just look and just listen. No more is needed. Being still, looking, and listening activates the non-conceptual intelligence within you. Let stillness direct your words and actions. Once you fully commit to healing, you'll understand that people were instruments to aid in your evolution. Focus on the lesson, not the person. Routine is medicine. Movement is medicine. Sleep is medicine. Breath is medicine. Consistency is medicine. Laughter is medicine. Storytelling is medicine. That's a good one to know. It's really sad that so much of our society says, thank God it's Friday. Thank God 5 out of 7 days of my life are over. Now I'm going to spend 2 of those 7 days drunk so I don't have to think about the upcoming 5 out of the 7 of my week. Very true. All right, 5 stages. Stage 1, self-awareness. You realize there has to be more to this life than what you've been living. You know that you have a purpose, but no idea what it is. This is where the seed of Dharma is planted. Stage 2, self-improvement. You make it your mission to improve yourself. You may begin practicing yoga, asana, following people who inspire you, engaging in self-help books or podcasts, or using a meditation app. This is where the seed of Dharma is watered. Stage 3, awakening. Your interest shifts from improving yourself to knowing yourself. You begin to realize that you are not your body or your mind, but rather a soul living in a body with a mind. You may face loneliness, but know that you're making changes to come into alignment with your truth. This is when the seed of Dharma sprouts. Stage 4, higher consciousness. You are out of the spiritual closet and no longer feel the need to hide your beliefs to be taken seriously. You have found the practices that resonate with you and begin sharing them. You know that you have a purpose, but you aren't exactly sure what it is. This is when the Dharma sprout begins to grow. Stage 5, stepping into your Dharma. Through embodying who you are, you realize your deeper purpose, your sacred mission on this planet. Suddenly, your worldview transitions to me, to we. You realize that you're here to be of service, and through following your highest joy, you serve the world. This is the space in which you truly embody your Dharma and the truth of who you are. There you go. Enough said. Nothing more needed. All done with that. So, actually, completely thinking about a new tattoo, and it's the shape of a yin-yang symbol. And I think I have 4 yin-yang symbols tattooed on me. And I just like how it looks, like just the circle, just the flow, the 2 circles in there, the equal sides. I've always loved the symbol. Never so much wanted to get a tattoo of it, but growing, you know, I always remember just liking that symbol. I thought it was a cool symbol. And I thought, well, got older, started getting tattoos. I mean, what was the draw to it? And I thought, you know what it is? It's that, like, duality. You know what I mean? It's like you're not just getting one thing. You know, there's good and there's bad. There's hot and there's cold. There's happy and there's sad. And it's kind of like that Buddhist thing where they look at life as suffering is part of life. Not, oh, try to avoid it and get rid of it and never experience it. It's like, well, no, you're alive. Part of being alive is suffering. It's just part of it. It's all combined. And that was kind of the thing, was I'm like, when I get a symbol, I like how it shows this and that, you know, like the 2 wolves story. You know, there's the great warrior grandfather's chief tells his grandson, you know, there's 2 wolves fighting, the good and the bad. And the grandson says, which one wins? Says, whichever one you feed. And I'm like, that's how easy it is. They're both right there. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, left, right, stop, go. You know, it's right there. So you have to be in control of the space between your ears to know what to focus on. Because you're not just going to, wake up and have it all one way. Oh, all good, no bad. All light, no dark. All joy, no sad. It's not going to do that. It's combined. And it really, like, I don't know why, it just hit me. And I was like, you know, that is why the symbol is so simplistic and it's symmetrical. So I love the simplicity and the symmetry of it. But then the meaning of it, you know, just there's the you know, there's that way and there's that way. You know, there's north and south, there's east and west. And I'm like, well, so I got a little info by Jun Chan. Yin and Yang, or Yin Yang, is a complex relational concept in Chinese culture that has developed over thousands of years. Briefly put, the meaning of Yin and Yang is that the universe is governed by a cosmic duality, sets of two opposing and complementary principles or cosmic energies that can be observed in nature. Yin and Yang. The Yin-Yang philosophy says that the universe is composed of competing and complementary forces of dark and light, sun and moon, male and female. This philosophy is at least 3,500 years old, discussed in the 9th century as I Ching, or Book of Changes, and influences the philosophies of Taoism and Confucianism. The yin-yang symbol is related to the ancient method used to track the movements of sun, moon, stars around the year. Generally speaking, yin is characterized as the inward energy that is feminine, still, dark, and negative. On the other hand, yang is characterized as outward energy, masculine, hot, bright, and positive. Yin and yang elements come in pairs, such as moon and sun, female and male, dark and bright, cold and hot, passive and active, and so on. But note that yin and yang are not static or mutually exclusive. While the world is composed of many different, sometimes opposing forces, these can coexist and even complement each other. Sometimes forces opposite in nature even rely on one another to exist. The nature of yin-yang lies in the interchange and interplay of the two components. The alteration of day and night is just such an example. There cannot be a shadow without light. The balance of yin and yang is important. If yin is stronger, yang will be weaker, and vice versa. Yin and yang can interchange under certain conditions so that they are usually not yin and yang alone. In other words, yin elements can contain certain parts of yang, and yang can have some components of yin. This balance of yin and yang is perceived to exist in everything. The symbol. The yin-yang symbol, also known as the Tai Chi symbol, consists of a circle divided by two halves by a curved line. One half of the circle is typically black, representing the yin, the other white for the yang. A dot of each color is situated near the center of the other's half. The two halves are thus intertwining across a spiral-like curve that splits the whole into semicircles, and the small dots represent the idea that both sides carry the seed of the other. The white dot in the black area and the black dot in the white area connote coexistence and unity of opposites to form a whole. The curvy line signifies that they are no absolute separations between two opposites. The yin-yang symbol then embodies both sides, duality, paradox, unity and diversity, change and harmony. The origin. There are many written records about the yin and yang, some dating back to the Yin Dynasty about 1400 to 1100 BCE. The oldest records of yin-yang are found in the Zhuhe, also called the I Ching or Book of Changes, which was written by King Wen in the 9th century. The Jing portion of Zhuhe particularly talks about the flow of yin and yang in nature. The idea has influenced thousands of Chinese philosophers, including scholars associated with Taoism, such as Lao Tzu, one of my favorite, and Confucianism, such as Confucius himself. It underlies Asian martial arts, medicine, science, literature, politics, daily behavior, beliefs, and intellectual pursuits. The The origin of the yin yang is found in the ancient Chinese timekeeping symbol of a pole measure changing the length of its shadow over the solar year. It was invented in China at least as long ago as 600 BCE. In fact, some have suggested that the yin yang symbol closely approximates a graphical representation of the daily change of a pole's shadow length during the year. Yang begins at the winter solstice and indicates the beginning of the period. When daylight dominates over the darkness and thus is associated with the sun, the yin becomes at the summer solstice and represents the dominance of darkness over daylight and is associated with the moon. Thus, yin and yang are fundamentally connected with the annual cycle of the earth around the sun and the resulting four seasons. So I learned a little more that I didn't know about that. So I was chatting with a client, and it's actually the client that I spoke to for like an hour and a half during a training session. And we had another session, and I chatted with him about that. I said, I mentioned it on the podcast. I went over and we talked the whole time. And I said, but what really got me was this quote. It's at the end of a Bruce Lee quote. It says, what you're not changing, you're choosing. You know, and I was talking to this client, and it was just that thing, like, if I'm gone tomorrow, if something happens to me, what I want my last words to you to be, you know, what I want you to get, like, what I want to drive home. You know, what you're not changing, you're choosing. And if you're letting that monkey mind run, it's because you're bored. Literally. If you got a bad phone call, whatever you were thinking about would be gone. Because it doesn't matter. You know, when you start letting that monkey mind just run, you got to just stop and go, wait a minute. Where's the bad? You know what I mean? Like, really? I mean, I remember the moment the dude at AA says, his name was Rob, looked at me and says, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, how are you? Like, right now. Like, you look fine. You're sitting across from me, you got two arms, two legs, you're breathing. And I got it, and I held on to it, and I remembered that. And it really epitomizes that whole being present thing. Not thinking about yesterday. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. Just right now, I'm good. You know, I ate. There's Zen. I'm recording the podcast. I'm good. Sheltered. It's nice outside. You know, no one's trying to kill me. No one's breaking down my door. No one's trying to burn down the building I live in. You know, everything's fine right now. But that's what happens. We just start getting a little bored, and then we let the monkey mind run, and next thing you know, we're the victim of something. And that's what I was trying to tell this client. It's on you. You know, what you're not changing, what you're just allowing to continue, you're actually choosing. And I think that kind of hit home with him. I'm always trying to come up with I try to come up with something that's going to really make the person that I'm speaking to focus on that thing in their life. You know what I mean? Like, really get it. Because, you know, last week when I was talking to him, he brought up this thing, and I go, dude, if you're letting in a little bit of that monkey mind watching the movie, you're letting it in. You just are. You either are or are not. And if you are, then you have no idea how much. And he was like, well, as a matter of fact, the last few days I've been bumming out. I'm like, there's my point exactly. And how do you block out all of that? First of all, when you hear the noise, you got to identify it, and then you got to stop, and then you got to go, okay, what do I do? Run through my pro-you list, run through my gratitude list, or just, you know, ask yourself, where's the bat? How am I right now? What you're not changing, you're choosing. And I just love that. Like, it stuck with me all week, and I kept telling it to people over and over again. So I'm a succulent guy now. I don't know if I've ever had them before. But I was watching the neighbor's yard and, you know, did the Zen garden and did the little found art framed. hanging stone thing on the house, like did all that stuff. And that's where, you know, when I was going, we were sitting on the porch, I got all these hanging pots and there are all these succulents. And I was like, man, you're pretty bad at green thumbing it and handle succulents. And so I ended up making a double kind of plant stand. And it turned out super cool because I bought two of them. And so they're together. And, you know, it's just like a cool thing. But, man, it just adds that energy and it adds that life. And it's, I sit there now. Like, I didn't want to, like, dominate that whole outdoor area. Like, just start decorating it like it was an outdoor room of mine. So it was like, hey, the table, the chairs, Zen's rug, a couple pieces on the table, and I'm fine. But, man, just that extra thing in that green, you know, I got two plants, obviously the big one, Mamacita, in the house, but I got the two little ones outside, and I'm already thinking about, you know, getting another little one outside. And again, I'm happy that it's some, for some reason, you know what I mean, like, it's another good thing I like. Oh, look what Tom's doing at 55. Just started getting some plants and just, you know, felt like that was time, and then identified with the energy, and he just liked it, and the feeling of it, and the look of it, and he, you know, just all fired up and added to the Zen garden and added to the outdoor area and blah, 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 blah. Which kind of keeps going to this point that I wrote down in one of my sticky notes, and I'll repeat it again. I mean, do what you love, love what you do. I did a, well, I mentioned this, but at that neighbor's yard, I made this wooden frame and I hung it on the side of their house right where that garden is that I kind of cleaned up and made a little fancier. But hung this wooden frame, painted kind of like this sunspot behind it with mainly orange, but a little red, little yellow, and then built this stone stack right in the frame, so the background is that orange spot. And it just turned out wicked cool, and I was like so appreciative. The dude's like, yeah, do whatever you want, go ahead, hang something, paint your house, like, go ahead, do what you want. But it was just super cool, and again, being present. He's like, can you watch my, you know, watch my house while I'm away? And I did what I did, being present. Didn't have a big to-do list. I don't have a lot of things that I'm like, I gotta get done, I gotta do, that are in my way, that are stopping me from being present. So it allows me to maximize those moments. And it was just kind of cool going, you know, this is what I did. This dude let me put a frame, you know, piece of found art thing on the side of his house. And it was just, again, I just loved that feeling. So this is a big one. It's like there always comes to be something in the home. Like, oh, I should get rid of that now. I mean, like before, I was like, I went through everything and did it. And then, like, you know, it was less than probably 6 months ago, I did the clothes thing. Never even thought about, hey, just get rid of 60% of your clothes. Did it. It was fantastic. And that less is more, like it's lighter. You feel that. You know, to me, there's a feng shui thing with that. Like when you have less clutter, less stuff, you know that that closet isn't jammed full and you got to struggle closing it, or that one door, don't open it, that's where I have everything. You know, just that it's just open and free. And it's like, and to me, I'd say almost like you can breathe better. Not that it was bad before, but everything I do seems like it's one more step moving forward to like efficient living or a better household or better feng shui or whatever it is. But so I got the new TV, and I inadvertently threw out the cords to the VCR DVD player. And then I just sat there. I was sitting down, and I'm, you know, watching the new TV. And it was a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and I'm like, well, there's that VCR and DVR, and there's my you know, DVD movies. And I just walked it all outside. I set it down. I grabbed a few, like the personal ones and my stuff. And so I probably have about 10 or 12 DVDs that a client said, hey, you can go, you know, send those to a company and they'll put them online. And that way, you know, you can keep them. So they're sitting on my desk and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, I'm sure it's not that expensive, but it's not really the money. It's like, do I need to look back? Because like there's this whole like new thing happening and I'm going this certain way and I'm filled with this goodness and I'm like, it was like talking to the Uber guys, you know, I was like, first dude wanted to talk about karate. I'm like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. Second guy was all about not complaining and being pro you and living in today's world and dealing with reality. I'm like, yeah, that's what's happening. How are you doing right now? How are you dealing with the space between your ears? And it's just like, that's who I am now. So, you know, right now I'm looking at this stack of, you know, this movie I did, an acting reel, my trip to Japan, you know, some other miscellaneous videos that I made. And it's the same thing that I've done for a while now. Like, I just sit somewhere, like the VCR DVD player. It just sat underneath the entertainment center. And I'm like, well, it's been 3 weeks. I mean, when am I going to want to hook that up to throw in a DVD when I can stream anything, anytime? And DVDs go bad. Like, you know, they don't last forever. There's no, oh, I want to keep that DVD because it's really, well, it's like, you can't keep a DVD for it. Well, maybe, I mean, probably a long time, but I mean, I don't think they last forever. I mean, the stuff I had, personal ones, like where I made copies of martial arts things or acting things, I mean, a lot of those DVDs went bad. So there's things like I open up my closet and it's half empty of clothes and it's filled with found art storage. My God, that's so cool. And I look over at the TV and the space where the VCR occupied is gone. It's one less cord and that drawer where the DVDs were not empty. My God, just lighter. You know, less is more. Lightening the load. There's a flow. There's a feel good. And to me, that's kind of always been the whole feng shui thing to me is, how does that room place feel? Every time I get rid of something, I feel a little better. I don't know, that whole minimalism, you know. And again, I walk in. This is just last week. I opened the door. I went, God, I just love where I live. And then I laughed. I'm like, I actually said, I love where I live. I love my home. And then I chuckled. Like, that was a real moment. I don't know how many people do that. Like, just walk into your home that you've been for 8 years. And just love how it feels when you walk in. And then you love that you're aware of how your home feels. Like, that's cool. You go back to where I'm 20 or 30 and go, hey, how does your home feel? I'd be like, what? It's hot. What do you mean? Is it hot or cold? I would have no idea what you mean at all. So switching at 180, this is the yin and yang thing popped up in this moment. So when I was living in the city of Orange, the area I was in, a lot of Vietnamese. My ex was Vietnamese, and her mother sent me to her tax lady, Lena, and she was just great. I mean, I started seeing her, you know, there. So I was there for almost 2 years. So I probably saw her once or twice, and then I've been gone. So probably 9 or 10 years I've seen her. And she was super cool. I always think like I'm the only white dude that goes to that place because they're all Vietnamese that work there. It's all Vietnamese clients when I'm there, and I'm the only dude in there. I'm sitting with a white dude with a pit bull. But she's always been super nice and super helpful. And it's like, to me, it's a funky area, the whole taxes and all that. So I've never had a good accountant. You know, I had a couple in L.A. and I was just spending a ton of money and I had no clue what was going on. But this woman just like works going, well, let's do this. What if we did this? You know, and she just like she cares. Like, I don't know. It was just cool. And I liked her. Last year, her son was there and he was like, you know, learning, you know, in accounting or whatever. And so I chatted him with for a while because he's like getting some forms ready, kind of helping out while his mother was finishing. And then she's going to come with me. And I remember looking at him when I left, and I said, look, I said, your mother's a really, really good person. I go, you take care of her. I remember having this cool moment with him. Well, I drove down, and it was the first time I normally will call beforehand. And I normally will call, just want to make sure, because like, you know, 45-minute drive. I just want to make sure you're open, whatever like that. And I just hopped in my car and drove down there, and I got there. It was closed, and I bummed out almost in this thing like of, what if she's gone? Like it closed up and like they were, I'm like, oh, how would I find someone like her again? You know what I mean? Like it would be impossible. I would just, and I just had this feeling, but it was just like wasn't open yet. Like I peeked through the windows and all their stuff, furniture, chairs, office stuff was still there. I'm like, okay, they're not gone. And I didn't really trip that hard, but I just had that thought of like, wow, you know, this is a great, you know, person to have. So I got home and it was like about 10:30 and I called back and someone answered and it says, yeah, we open up at 10. I'm like, okay, cool. And I go, is Lena there? She said, no. I said, all right. So it was like 2 days later, I go, I'm just going to bust down there again. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I got there. I walked in. I recognized the son right away. I go, hey, what's up? And I go, mom? And he's like, she actually retired. I went, wow. You know, I was like, you know, kind of stunned me that I had that thought of like, what if she was gone? And her brother or, yes, Lena, my accountant, her brother and her sister still work there, and now her son is starting there. And I'm like, oh, cool, it stays in the family, this and that. And I brought a calendar, and I said, you know, I'd made these stone, a little stone thing for her 2 years ago, and it broke when I showed up last year. She's like, what glue should I get to fix it? And I was like, write a note, mental note to get her a calendar. But I can typically go like February, March. So I don't typically have a calendar February, March, or I'm not thinking of giving a calendar for, you know, 3 months late. And I'm like, I'm going to bust down there in January. That's what I thought. I don't know if I can fill out what I need to fill out or whatever they do it. I didn't care. And so I said, well, this is for your mom. I said, but if you want to hang it up here, feel free. And I just stopped, and then he paused, and there's this long pause, and I was like, he goes, well, I got some bad news. And it just like how he said it, it just like my heart stopped. He went, my mother passed away. So I called, is she there? No. Where's your mom? She retired. Oh, okay. And then further it went, and then she passed away. She's 53, died of lung cancer. And I'm sitting there going, kind of 55. I mean, it just, like, it hit me with Tammy, it hit me with me, it hit me with, you know, there's this dude sitting there, you know, just out of college, and his mother's gone, and you know, in the office where she used to work, and then you got to tell everybody, and I just started tearing up. Like, there was just no stopping it. And then he kind of started tearing up, and I was just like, not the moment you thought you were going to have doing taxes. And I was like, well, there's the yin and the yang again. Oh, I got this great lady. What if it's closed? What if she's not there? What if they're not open? Who would I go to? Oh, they're open. Where is she? She's gone. I was like, wow. It was like the weirdest thing. I mean, even before her, when I would go to the accountant, it was always like that confessional. You go in going, okay, how did I do? How bad is my penalty? You know? And I really, really enjoy, I don't know, it was like this, okay, this little sketchy, nervous area, I got a really nice lady that helps me. Like, she comforts me. Like, she calms me. I'm like, she's gone. I was like, man. And it was like that message, it's like, people, you got to get stuff, man. This is temporary. All this shit's temporary. You're wasting your time worrying about stupid shit. Wow. Because, you know, I was like, well, they're not going anywhere. They'll be there. But I'm like, you know, just keep showing up to that office where your mom's not at anymore. And then I'm walking through the neighborhood and Zen's best friend, this little Mexican lady, Iris, got two little puppies, Terry and Junior. Terry's like a little, I don't know what Terry is, little furry dog. And Junior's this really frail, thin chihuahua with barely any hair. And he's old. She's like, oh, he's mucho old. She doesn't speak a lot of English. And whenever you see her, I mean, she's collecting cans every morning. She's up like 5:30. She's just a hardworking woman. Always upbeat. And one day we're walking by her and just expecting the same kind of transaction, you know, we always have with, hi, how you doing? Good, thank you. And Zen runs up and jumps up and down and she pets him and thank you, have a good day, Iris. And Iris, how are you? Okay. I just stopped. mean, it wasn't even a bad answer, but from her, consistency was everything. She always answered the same way, same tone. And I was like, and as soon as she said that, it was a 0.00001 of a second. When I went, it's one of your dogs. And she said, Junior's gone. And I was like, oh, like it's an old dog, you know, that kind of thing. But just this woman that I just like a lot, because Zen loves her. And you could see her pain. And there she's out doing her stuff early in the morning, all alone. I mean, she's married, got a husband, you know, like that. But I mean, you know, she's still getting up, doing her stuff, doing what needs to be done. And she's just walking around with a heavy heart, and I just felt it. And I just felt it, man. And then you swing 180, and Mosier and his gal are getting a new dog. Actually, today they pick it up. And it was literally difficult to get a hold of, talk to, get anyone to call back trying to adopt a dog. And that's a good problem. I mean, that was very kind of cool to hear. Like, it's so busy with people adopting and rescuing dogs that, you know, Scott couldn't even get people to return their phone call. And I was like, wow. I mean, you know, I knew eventually Scott would get a dog, but I thought, how cool, it's that busy. That many dogs are being rescued. So that was a fill my heart moment. But that's when I wrote that down, that yin and yang. Like, you know, you're just walking around and you go, well, here's good and here's this. And it's like, wow. And then that, you know, the tax lady passing, just, you know, and then seeing Iris just, you know, she's walking around strong. And then she, but, you know, she knows me. So she's like, well, here's my pain. And then I saw her pain. And I'm like, man, it's just part of life. It is just part of life. So I was talking to a client, and I was kind of, you know, beating this whole theory about you quiet your noise and there's space. What fills that space? The good that lies within you. It's just waiting. And sometimes it'll be untapped and will lay dormant forever, because that person didn't quiet the noise, which then did not allow for the good to come up. But all that stuff, you know, your good comes from within, and you don't need anything outside of you. And that's exactly how I feel. I mean, I'm way better. How? Nothing externally. Didn't go take a class, take a course, read a book, you know what I mean? Didn't travel anywhere, didn't change jobs, didn't, you know, nothing else. Same dude, same town, same Zen dog, same Zen garden. And I'm way better right now than I've ever been in my entire life. And I'm like, well, the noise is quiet. So what's filling that? Well, it's like, well, Tom started liking Tom. Tom started digging Tom. Then pretty soon Tom's like, you know, it doesn't really matter if I like me. Who else likes me? I mean, if you really like yourself, you don't really care who does or who doesn't. And again, when that switches and you start feeling that empowerment, you start going, okay, wait a minute, I like this thing. I like this feeling. I'm going to go with this. This self-empowering, self-love, feel good all the time. And 2020 for me was, you know, the model. Oh, look, consistent. What? Well, I just kind of felt good January, February, because I also fired up my birthday, turning 55, 4-5, Zen's 5, podcast 5, 4-5 is 20, it's 2020. And then, you know, had a great birthday. And I was like, man, and then boom, April happened. Pandemic, corona, and my life got a little better, and I was highly aware of that, and it didn't stop. And then all of a sudden I'm in January going, this is the greatest day of my life. This Saturday I picked up my car and I knew I would, you know, dealing with certainty. And I'm like, this is just like the best thing. And I'm like, well, why is Tom having all these good experiences? I mean, you can ask that for yourself, or I can answer. You can go back and listen to the podcast and listen to my growth, saying I'm trying to grow through what I go through. I'm not trying to pick the destination. I'm not trying to pick all the things I want, think I deserve. I'm just trying to respond. And in order to respond efficiently, you have to be a really good version of you. And a really good version of you is not overwhelmed by the noise in between their ears. And I was telling this client, I said, you know, I was like, hey, apartment 15, that guy, I'm like, what, Tom, are you bored? What are you doing? Like, that, you haven't seen that dude in a month. What's your problem? And sometimes I'd say it out loud just like that to myself. Because I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. And when you realize you can stop things that you've done forever and go without them from this point on forever, I mean, that's the dopey dope stuff right there. I'm all in, signed up, don't care. Pay and dues member of the Pro U Club. And I won't change. I won't give up anything. And it's that, God, I love this. That's what I want to sell. That's what I want to give. That's what I'm offering the people I talk to and the people that listen to me. My journey is what's possible. Like, you don't have to get a bunch of money, get famous, move, change anything. And you can just become better. So this client has an amazing son. And I said, you know, your son is all your good and none of your bad. Because as you get older, that's when doubt, fear, worry, and all those things. As a young guy, you know, you're just kind of that fountain that's flowing pretty freely. You know, you're a pretty good family. You don't really have any issues yet. And I go, look at your son. I go, what comes out of him is just flowing freely. He doesn't have doubt, worry, fear. So why do you? And it starts registering. Going, well, you know, because this client's at a point where he's, you know, he's drinking the Kool-Aid. He's like, okay, it has gotten quiet. I do like me better. I am able to kind of stop, control my thoughts. I like the outcome of that. People around me notice the difference. So now he's stuck on that pro-U path. He will never deviate. He'll never go backwards. Because you turn that 7 into an 8, they're like, okay, I like you. And when you're an 8, you know you will not stop doing anything that you did to become an 8. No matter what, no matter who. That's a fact. That's how good it is when you feel good about yourself. And maybe you haven't. You know, I keep thinking about like The Rock, and I mentioned him a couple times. I'm like, the dude just does everything. Looks good, feels good, in shape, great dad, ton of money, acting. I mean, just everything. I mean, how? You know, he had this great dad, and this great relationship, and this great, you know, I mean, I'm sure he had struggles and stuff, but there's just certain people that didn't deal with certain things. So he wasn't quieting that noise. He's like, look how great my dad is. And my dad says, I can be great. Well, how great should I be? You know, so that was his path. But if you're like, well, why does my dad not like me? You know, that can kind of get in the way of other things and growth. So it's like just understanding that, you know, we're all on these different paths. And, you know, the stuff I had to figure out took this long. Am I good at it? Am I bad at it? I don't know. My stuff, I had to deal with it. But I know it was a lot. And that's why I didn't, you know, go on and do a bunch of other things, because this was my thing to do. My thing to do was to feel better about me, feel better about my life, become a better me so I could do this. I mean, I was sharing those Sunday morning messages and, you know, hoping to feel better. Hoping that what I sent out would make someone feel better so they would send something back so I would feel better. I mean, that was all like, you know, wanting to help people, but I needed the most help probably the entire time I was alive until now. I tried to help because it made me feel good. And when I did help people, it made me feel good. That's something I just stuck to. But it was not because I didn't need help. I was the one, I believe, that it was in the need of most help. So it's really recognizing. In order to recognize, you got to slow down. And slowing down is hard, you know. because we just want to, you know, you just want the yin. You just want the one. I want to do A, make money, be happy, be successful, fall in love, and do what I want. And I don't ever want any changes or anything unfamiliar put in my way. It's like, man, you're just going to suffer a long time. So, if you continue to evolve and become the better you, you will quiet that noise. When you quiet that noise, that and that alone is hugely empowering. Doing something that you've never done before and experiencing what quiet between the ears is like. Then the good starts leaking on its own into that space that is now empty. Because the voice, the noise is gone. You just start feeling better. And I remember just going, I kind of like Tom. Not that I didn't. Just never said I liked him. I'm like, you know, got some stuff. But I mean, he's a pretty good guy. I like him. And that was a game changer. 2020 was like, well, what if Tom just liked Tom like no one else did? Like Zen does. Unconditionally. I was like, wow, that's empowering. Boom. And you feel that shift. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Fall of 2020, I'm like, I'm 8.7. I get it. And I'm doing it, and I'm consistent. All right, 8.8, here I come. That's where I'm headed, 2021. And 8.8, that's what I would want for you. Anybody listening, anybody has any comments, questions, would like to chat, Skype, FaceTime, Zoom, I am here. Thank you for listening, for being you, for following the podcast. And I hope that 2021 is manageable to you thus far, because you are focused on that which you can control and you are letting go of that which you cannot control, because you are worth it. Your Pro You Moment. 2021 is upon us. And if you're showing up, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Eyes closed. Seated on the floor. Neutral neck. Shoulders over your hips. Navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. Slowing it down and elongating it. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. We'll slow it down and elongate it. Doing that is what connects us. What blocks out everything else and keeps us present in the moment, focused on our breath. If anything enters calmly, quietly, simply ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Well done. Bravo. Pro you, man. Pro you moments, man. That's what it's about. Got this great client. Every time we met, he goes, here's my workouts, here's my workouts, these are my workouts. And one day, he said, here are my pro you moments. And they weren't all workouts. They weren't all moments of cardio or sweating. But pro you moments, when you start doing pro you moments, little things done consistently, that's exactly how you become the better you. That's how you become more efficient living. Collecting pro you moments like the one we just had. It's pretty hard to calculate how much 180 seconds improved you. But you've done it 384 times, I guarantee you it's improved you. Therefore, I guarantee you know you're worth it. Because if you keep showing up, it's because you believe. Keep drinking that Kool-Aid, kids. Keep being you. Deserving what you deserve. Getting what you deserve. Being the version you deserve. Peace and God bless.